If you will, be opening your Bibles to James chapter 1. Have you ever heard or seen somebody with a sign that says, "When life hands you a lemon, make lemonade"? You know, sometimes it's easier to just smile and go on than to try to make that statement be put into practice. But this basic philosophy of what this sign says is in fact a biblical principle. Understand what I said. I didn't say that thought is found in the Bible, but the principle is found there. When life gives you lemons, make lemonade. Now, there's no PowerPoint this morning because of technical glitches. The little thumb drive I've got will not be picked up by the computer, so there's no pictures or anything from me, and I had a good one for that. So, but anyway, this principle is taught in James chapter 1. And throughout the Bible, this principle is seen. When God's people would turn defeat into victory and trials into triumph. Instead of being a victim, they became victors. And James, in his letter, tells us that we can have that same experience in our lives today. Whether we're dealing with trials on the outside or temptations on the inside. And it's through faith in God that we can have this. The key to turning trials into triumph is to obey four things that James talks about here. So in James chapter 1, beginning in verse 2, James says, "My brethren, count it all joys when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." He goes on in verse 5 and says, "If any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, without doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways." Four things here that we need to make mention of in these verses. Notice James says in verse 2, "My brethren, count it all joys." Count it. Count it as a blessing when these trials fall upon you. Because they will indefinitely fall upon you. Your life will be filled with them sometimes, overflowing in fact. But James says, count it a blessing. Verse 3, he says, "Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." You need to know that this is for your betterment. And then he says in verse 4, "But let patience have its perfect work." We've got to let these trials run their course in our life. We can't stop them. You ever tried to stop something bad from happening in your life and make it worse? Sometimes we just have to go with the flow. But notice what he talks about in verses 5 through 8. "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God." So if you want to get through these trials, if you want to make lemonade out of the lemons that life has given to you, then talk to God. So starting with verse 2 then, let's look at this first thing that James mentions. He says, "Count it all joy when you fall into various trials." We need to notice here that he says that we're going to experience these trials. Notice he didn't say if. If these trials come, he says when they come, they're inevitably going to happen in our lives. And there's going to be days that it's going to feel like the bottoms of the heavens have fallen out and it's going to rain and rain and rain. You ever try to do something and you don't need it to rain and it rains? I loaded up my lawnmower yesterday and took it to a buddy of mine. He's going to help me change oil in it. It rained all the way out there. It stopped while we was in the garage working on it. And then when we loaded it back up, it rained all the way home. Guess what? When I got home, that lawnmower sat on a trailer. It finally let up raining enough, I rolled it off the trailer and put it in the shed. But when you don't want it to rain, that's when it rains, isn't it? When trials come in our life, we may look at them and say, well, that's the last thing I need right now. But James tells us that as a child of God, we have to expect these trials. Jesus tells us that in John 16 and verse 33, to expect things to happen. Paul also talks about it in Acts 14 and verse 22. And he says here, James does, that the nature of these trials are various. It means that you don't know what's going to happen, and there's going to be multiple differing trials that we face. It doesn't matter. It's just like when we took that lawnmower out there, they gave me a plastic tube to hook onto the out thing to drain the oil out of it. It was about that long, and we needed one about this long and needed it to be flexible. The one they gave me was rigid. A trial. And you might be thinking, well, Jeff, but it's a trial, isn't it? What about other things in your life? You know, I've got a son that's facing a trial right now with a baby on the way, and the doctors really don't know what's going to be wrong with it. They just tell him there's something going to be wrong with that baby. You can count on it. Bet your bottom dollar there's something going to be wrong with that baby, but we don't know what it is. How do you live with something like that? How do you manage that type of trial? I'll tell you what the family does. A lot of praying. But some of these trials come into our lives just simply because we are human beings. Sickness. Accidents. While I was there yesterday, he works on tractors, and a buddy of his, he's working on his tractor, and he had to go back to the John Deere place to get parts. And we look up, and here comes this little white truck down the driveway, and I said, well, there comes somebody. He said, oh, that's my tractor parts. I said, well, his truck looks like he needs a few parts on it. Had a headlight missing and a bumper folded up in under it. And he goes, oh. Well, that happened in the process of him leaving here this morning and coming back. He wasn't expecting to have a wreck going around Normandy Lake yesterday. But guess what? It happened. Sometimes there's just trials that are just disappointments. Death comes to all of us. Sister Iris Bradford, her son told me the other day that I needed to go see her, that she wanted to talk to me. Do you know what she's expecting? Death. 95 years old, got pneumonia again. Her legs don't work. She has to be picked up out of the bed and put in the recliner and then back into the bed. Got bed sores because she can't adjust herself in the bed. Very sweet lady, very heartfelt lady. Now, I'm just going to stop right here and tell you the main reason she wanted me to come by. Two reasons. But one of them was, she says, I want you to pray for me, Jeff. I said, well, yes, ma'am. What do you want to pray about? Now, granted, she's been confined to a hospital bed, unable to even get herself out of bed. And she says, pray that God won't hold it against me that I ain't been able to go to church. I almost cried. Because here's a woman whose greatest desire is to go to church and assemble with the saints, and she can't. And she's afraid she's offended God. Trials face everybody. Other trials come to us because we are Christians. We talked in Bible class this morning. Who here has ever lost friends, family, loved ones because of your stance for being a Christian? But when all of these things happen, and James says, count it all a joy, when you fall into these various trials, what's to be our response as a Christian? James says, count it all joy. Be happy. Rejoice that you are faced with these things. That's the attitude that the apostles had in Acts 5 and verse 41 when they were arrested and put in prison. That's the attitude that the apostle Paul had when he served God. That's the attitude that the Christians had in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. So the first step, when things go bad in our life, when we want to step back and complain, let's stop for just a minute. And let's ask ourselves, is it possible that this could turn out to be a blessing? The first step in turning this trial into triumph is immediately to thank God and to adopt an attitude of thanksgiving, a joyful attitude. Now, I'm going to be the first to tell you, that ain't easy to do. That's not easy to do when that dark cloud is hanging over you and it just doesn't seem to ever want to leave. And you think, when is it going to stop? Two things, pray and be thankful. But a second thing, don't ever turn your back on God and blame Him. But we might ask, is it possible to rejoice in the midst of trials? That's what James says. Count it all joy. Well, notice what he says in verse 3. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. The right knowledge concerning the value of trials makes it possible to have a joyful attitude. We, as children of God, have to understand that trials test our faith. Look at Peter in Matthew chapter 16 this morning, where we studied about him when Jesus told him and the others that the elders and the scribes and the chief priests are going to take me and kill me. And Peter rebuked him. And Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan." Peter had allowed his worldliness, his humanality, his humanity to interfere with what he knew to be the truth. What he had stated in verse 16, "You are Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God." Trials test our faith. And our faith tested can bring about the best in us. You know, I had a lot of stuff going on in my life spiritually several years ago. And I'd have people tell me, "Oh, you'll be better on the other side. You'll be better on the other side." I got to thinking, like another friend of mine, "I see a light at the end of the tunnel, but I think it's a train." I didn't think it was ever going to get better. I began to get discouraged. And I began to think, you know, when you tell me it's going to get better on the other side, I'll be better on the other side for it. That's not what I wanted to hear. What I would really like for you to say is, here is the relief you need. But in essence, what they were telling me is, life's giving you lemons, Jeff. Go make some lemonade. Peter says in 1 Peter 1 and verse 7 that it's just like fire that purifies gold when our faith is tested. Just like training an athlete to be stronger. You watch these men and women work out to be stronger so they can be better athletes, the Olympians. What would happen if they quit after they wore themselves out the first time? They wouldn't be successful, would they? But they keep coming back to the gym to get stronger, faster. And with this understanding, we too can have joys and trials because we know, as children of God, that the testing works for us and not against us. And trials rightly help us to grow as children of God. It doesn't sound right, does it? When we're tested or face trials in our life, that it makes us grow in maturity as a Christian. But specifically what James is talking about here, when our faith being tested produces patience. It's not what we want to hear, is it? Go in your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, and let's notice verses 3 and 4. And here Paul is talking about faith having triumphs in trial, that it wins out. He says in verse 3, "And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that the tribulation produces perseverance or patience. And perseverance or patience produces character, and character hope." It makes you a better Christian. That's the biblical principle. And isn't that what we want to be? But when you look at the Bible, the word patience is not a passive acceptance of your circumstances. It doesn't mean that, well, I'm just going to sit down until this dark cloud passes over, until this trial, this temptation passes by. You just can't do that. Because in essence, you're giving up. And God doesn't want you to give up. But the Greek word, if I could pronounce it, is hupomone. And it comes from, it's a compound word. The first word is hupo, meaning under. And the second Greek part of that word is meno, meaning to remain or to abide. And it denotes the ability to exhibit steadfastness and constancy in the face of even the most difficult things that come into our life. You ever face something in your life and you think, I'll never be able to overcome this. I'll never be able to get through this. Now, I'm not talking about some situation at work. I'm talking about maybe a death of a loved one. And we think, we'll never overcome this. Maybe it's a member of their spiritual family that has spiritually died and turned their back on the Lord, and you think, I'll never overcome this. Yeah, you will. Because what James is talking about here is a courageous perseverance when you're faced with suffering. Patience that is strong, knowing that you can get through it. It is the continuing on, even when the going gets tough, despite the circumstances you may find yourself in. This quality of steadfastness can come only when we experience trials. You know, you ever watch somebody that gives their kids everything in life? Turn 16, oh, here's a brand new car. What do the kids learn when they have everything handed to them hand over fist like that? When my daughters were going to school and their best friends would come in, or even not even their best friends, but they would see somebody pull up in a brand new sport car. And here my kids are driving second and third generation hand-me-down Buicks. And we're grateful to get it. And then watch these kids peel out of the school parking lot and crash that car. It's all right, Mom and Daddy buy me a new one. They don't appreciate things. So if you go through life without any trials, without any struggles, you don't appreciate life as much as someone who's really had to struggle. The people that go through these trials appreciate more what God has done for them. Having this understanding about what trials can accomplish in our life makes it where we can have a joyful attitude toward all of these trials that face us. And it doesn't matter what they are. But to really benefit from our trials, we also have to understand what James talks about in verse 4. And he says here in verse 4, let patience have its perfect work. To truly turn trials into victory or triumph, we've got to let patience do its thing. which means you've got to be patient. But too often, we just want to get our trials and our difficulties done and over with like that. I'm old enough to know that they don't happen like that. Nothing in life, any trials, any difficulties ever are over with like that. But that's how we want them to be. We live in a microwave society. Heat a hamburger up, 1 minute, ding, it's done, take it out, eat it. But there are too many times when the best course is to bear up under this trial and to do it with patience instead of grumbling and complaining. We need to patiently endure the trial, doing good despite whatever it is that's happening in our lives. Continue to do good. Continue to show yourself that faithful child of God. You ever seen the sign in some people's houses? God grant me patience, grant it to me now. It doesn't happen that way, does it? How many of you have ever had patience come in here like that fast? When patience has had an opportunity to work, just like we've been talking about, it produces maturity in our lives. And that word perfect doesn't mean sinlessness, but it means completeness, wholeness, maturity. And in the New Testament, it can be used of those who have attained that spiritual manhood or maturity in Christ. Those who have reached that full maturity and understanding in all spiritual matters. Those who are no longer babes in Christ and immature people in Christ. This kind of maturity comes only when patience has had its time to work. Consider, if you will, for an example, an endurance runner in his training. I went to the doctor the other day and a boy come in, he's a new guy, and took my blood pressure and heart rate, and as he was coming in, the doctor was talking to him if he was still running. I told him, I said, the last time I run, the drill sergeant was making me do it. I don't run anymore. I would get out of breath before I got halfway to the doors in the back now. But people that love to run, they run and push themselves a little bit farther, don't they? For the endurance. Spiritually speaking, we've got to do that. We've got to push ourselves just a little bit farther to obtain that spiritual maturity. Patiently running mile after mile in training. Now, if we want to race well spiritually, then we need to develop patience. And that only comes through a form of spiritual resistance training. And that is, trials in which our faith is put to the test. Letting patience have its perfect work is not easy. It's not fun. And it certainly requires wisdom, which enables us to see the value of those trials in our life. And this brings us to the fourth point. In verses 5 through 8, James says, let him ask of God. If we lack wisdom, James says we need to ask God for it, because he has promised to give it liberally. And he's not going to reproach us if we make that request to him, give me wisdom, Lord. Go back to 1 Kings chapter 3 when Solomon asked the Lord for wisdom. God told him, I'll give you whatever you want to rule the children of Israel. He says, you could have had power, you could have had wealth, you could have had the best army. But Solomon asked for wisdom. Solomon asked for wisdom to be a wise king. God granted him not only wisdom, but an abundance of wisdom, and then granted him the wealth and the power and everything that went along with it. Because Solomon was wise in his question, in his request. But what exactly is wisdom? James says, let us ask for it, but what is it? We have to be careful to distinguish between wisdom and knowledge. Knowledge involves information, facts, and statistics, and all this. Wisdom is the ability or the insight to properly use those facts in the best way in our life. And a failure to understand this distinction has led so many people into error. Many people look at James 1, verses 5 through 8 here, and say that it gives God, or that God will give knowledge concerning His will in answer to prayer. But knowledge comes only through His Word. If I want to know what God says, then I have to read His Word. I can ask God to give me wisdom to understand that knowledge, to be better able to apply that knowledge. But it only comes through a study that we will know the will of God. But the wisdom to properly use His Word can be received through prayer. And this wisdom to properly use these trials and turn them into triumph, to turn them into victory, can also come through a proper prayer. Proper prayer is that we ask in faith and with no doubt. Do you believe that God can do what you're asking Him? Faith. Otherwise, the prayer is not going to be answered by God. So, what we've seen this morning is that there are keys to turning trials into triumph. We can win. We can be successful. We can be stronger Christians tomorrow because of the trials that I'm facing today and the ones that will be I'll be facing in the future. But it only happens when I have the knowledge and the perspective to understand that the adversity that I'm facing in my life can accomplish so much good for me. Can make me stronger. Letting the patient enduring of that adversity accomplish the work that it needs to. And all the while, using the wisdom that God gives us in answered prayers to help us put the puzzle all together. And when this is done, even trials can be a source of joy for all the Christians. Now, let me ask you a question. If you read James chapter 1 here, verses 2 through 8, do you think you could make lemonade? Because life is going to fill you full of lemons. Do you think you could make some lemonade out of what God has allowed to happen in your life? With the wisdom, the knowledge that He gives you, do you think you could make some lemonade? Or you just want to sit back and suck on a sour lemon and complain? You see, there's a difference. God's Word gives us the knowledge to help us face these trials. To face every trial that we need. Paul would write to Timothy in the second letter in chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, when he says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, that it is God-breathed. He goes on to say that it's profitable for everything that you may need in life. It's profitable. But we want to step back. And we want to complain. But what we need to do is step forward and pray and read and meditate upon the Word of God when these trials face us. The human nature side of us, though, we want to push those things aside and have my pity party. But James says you need to be making lemonade. So it may be here that you're here this morning. You've never put Christ on in baptism. You may be facing trials in your life. various things that are happening. And if you would only realize, coming to Christ can help you alleviate a lot of these trials. Can help you overcome them. Because now you would have the avenue of prayer. Being able to talk to your Heavenly Father. And Him grant you the wisdom that you need to overcome these trials. But it may be that you've done that. And you're here this morning as a child of God. And when you face your trials, we like to have our pity parties. And we want to complain. But there should be joy when we face these trials. That's the principle that James talks about here. I know, as David said in the announcements this morning, I know there's several here that have trials going on in their life. Health, family, whatever the case may be. I know there's aches and pains. Trust me, I get it. I like to complain. I like to fuss. The human nature side of me does that. I'm just like everybody else. But the Christian side of me needs to pray. It may be that you're here today and you need to repent of something that has separated you from God. Maybe these trials have turned into temptations that you've given into. And you need to confess wrongdoing, as public as it may be. But let me also say this, since we're talking about prayer. It may be that you have a dark cloud over your life. A perpetual dark cloud. Just doesn't seem to be any daylight coming. You know what one of the greatest blessings of being a child of God is? Having your brothers and sisters pray for you. So if you're here this morning, and nothing about becoming a Christian applies to you, you're living faithful. But let me suggest, if you've got trials in your life, that dark cloud is hanging over you, there's nothing wrong with making your way to the front and asking the brethren to pray with you and for you, for God to grant you wisdom. If you're here this morning and need to respond to the invitation, I encourage you to make your way to the front while we stand and sing.